The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, we're going to talk again this morning about forgiveness, kingdom relationships, and then we're going to talk a little bit about practice love. Relationships are difficult. How many will agree? All right, good. They're difficult on all kinds of levels. They're difficult in our families. And yet, we have a mandate by the Lord to love and forgive and continue to be the kind of people that God has called us to be. And we will talk a little bit about reality of what love really is. They're difficult on the level of the body of Christ. Now, I know some of you probably don't realize this, but you're not going to like everybody that calls themselves a Christian. Amen? Hey, this is reality. Our personalities are different, and we sometimes clash with individuals. But still, we have a responsibility to love one another, even when we clash with somebody, and deal with the issues. Relationships are difficult in the workplace. And sometimes we have a really difficult time dealing with our boss or the person that's working beside of us. And yet, once again, we are to walk in love. So it's extremely important that we recognize that even though these relationships that we have throughout our life are difficult, we have a mandate to work through the difficulties. We have a mandate to love regardless of whether the person is lovable. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm not getting a lot of response this morning. Everybody's saying, really? Do we really have to do that? Amen, yeah. You know, there was two little brothers by the name of Marshall and Owen, whose mother is Beth. Now, any resemblance to my family members is purely by coincidence. These two little guys had dinner one night, and after dinner, they started fighting. They fought all evening, and finally, by the time it was bedtime, they were still fighting. Mom put them to bed. As she talked to both of them, she said they sleep together. So she said, how do you think Jesus wants you to treat each other? Do you think he wants you to forgive? And they both reluctantly said, yeah. But she said, what would happen if one of you died during the night and you were still fighting? Don't you think it's important that you forgive before you go to sleep tonight? And they both said, yeah. And then Marshall said, all right, I forgive you. Just talk to Owen. I forgive you. But if you're still alive in the morning, you're in trouble. Now, doesn't that sound like all of us? We're ready to forgive short term. But if that happens again, look out. And yet, that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught us that even if our enemies slapped us in the face, we're to turn the other cheek. He taught us that if seven times 70, somebody does something to us in the body of Christ, we are to forgive that person over and over and over and over again. None of us like that. I understand. It's difficult to comprehend how that can be a reality. But with the help of Almighty God, we are able to walk in that kind of love toward one another. All right. Let's talk just a little bit this morning. I want to talk about choose to practice love. We're going to begin with practicing love in our families. You must choose to practice love. You must choose to practice forgiveness. Forgiveness in a family is paramount to being able to continue to have the kind of family life that is peaceful and rewarding. Because if we harbor unforgiveness toward one another in any way, children to parents, parents to children, spouse to spouse, we will create a scenario that eventually will just totally blow up in our face. You know, I like to talk to people about when you get into arguments, do not use what I would call ammunition. You know, I have a revolver at home. It takes 6 bullets. And what I do is I usually keep that thing full. And if I need it for something, because, you know, we have some chickens, which we've lost a few lately. Some kind of animal has been devouring my chickens. But, you know, we have some animals, so I like to carry it with me when I go over at night to check on the animals, and I keep it loaded all the time. And that's something that people, spouses do in regards to their relationship with one another. Sometimes we keep our revolver loaded with past offenses. And every time there's an argument, guess what? You bring those things up, one right after another. You just sit there and shoot that person with your ammunition. You have that same argument over and over, and you just keep adding to it. You know, you have some ammunition in your belt that you can take out and put in once you've shot that first one, and second one, and third one. You just keep loading that thing because you have new ammunition as you go along. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Remembering the offenses that are taking place in our relationships. We've got to wipe those things out. If we're going to forgive, we got to get past it, get beyond it. We cannot allow those kind of offenses to take place, keep or stay in our life where we're using them as ammunition toward our spouse, toward people in our family, and even toward people in the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands. That is fitting in the Lord." And this is an act of reverence and understanding of the position that God has placed the husband in. It's love. This is what we're talking about here. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. True love is not an emotion. It's not just an emotion. If you truly love somebody, you're going to have some emotion toward that person. Absolutely. But then there's going to be times when you do not have that emotion toward that person. What happens? Are you out of love? No, because love is not just an emotion. Love is a commitment. Yes, sir. When I say I love my wife, it's because I'm committed to my wife. Listen, when you first meet somebody, you have a lot of warm fuzzies, right? Before you got married, a lot of warm fuzzies. Some of you have been married a long time. Do you feel those warm fuzzies all the time now? No. In fact, they're fewer and fewer as you get older in that relationship. Those warm fuzzies are important. They're part of our relationships. But if that's what we base our relationship on, then what will happen is what's happening to millions of people. They will come to the point where they look at that other person and they say, I don't love you anymore. I don't feel the same way I felt for you. Now, part of that is because we're not doing the kind of things that we need to do to keep those warm fuzzies going. In order to have that emotion, we have to have something stir those emotions. So therefore, you know, I tell people often, and I use, you know, I use the illustration out of the book, The Five Love Languages, because I believe it's a very good book. It's written by a good Christian author, Dr. Chapman, and there's some good information in there. It helps people to understand the difference in the way language or the things that we do speak to each other. And let me just share a few of the languages with you so that you'll understand. If you've not read the book, you'll understand at least what I'm talking about a little bit. Words of affirmation, some people, that's your love language. Quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch, these are all love languages. Now, sometimes people have more than one. You know, we probably all need every one of these things in our life. But we all have a dominant one. And when you have that dominant one, when somebody does something for you, it speaks volumes into your life. It speaks love. And it, believe it or not, it stirs that warm fuzzy. That feeling, that emotion. That's why it's so important that we work on our relationships with one another. You know, you've all heard, most of you have heard my story about buying Tammy a candy bar because one of her love languages is gifts and work acts of service. And so when I give her something just simple, she doesn't want me to buy her a diamond ring. I'm sure she would receive it if I bought it. And then she'd say, where'd you get the money for this? But the reality is she just, if I do anything for her, how important that is. She receives it. And, you know, stupid me, I gave her a candy bar and it sat in the cabinet for 3 days. So I just assumed that she didn't like it. She didn't want it anymore. And so I came in, I was looking for something sweet and I ate it. Now, I want you to understand, I'm telling you this again because I want you to understand, I have learned some lessons in our relationship. Glory. Hallelujah. Not to give a gift and take it back. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. And throughout the years, early on in our relationship, I didn't do things like Valentine's Day. How important that is. Anniversaries and birthdays. You know, I guess I was too consumed with myself to even think about my spouse. I just didn't even think about those things. But I want to tell you, men, these are very, very important to your wife. You young people, if you're in here, to your girlfriend, it's very important. Be aware of that. I don't think we have one teen back there this morning. Everybody else is out? Okay. Yeah. Skylar, yay. Glad you're here. Working in the kitchen. Okay, thank you. All right, well, that's awesome. But anyhow, those things are very, very important. And I must tell you that over time as a believer in Christ, I learned how important it was, not just through experience, but I learned from Bible teachers. I learned from ministries like Family Life and Focus on the Family, listening to their teachings and the importance of these things, how important it was to speak love into your spouse. I learned things from Christians, and what I'm trying to tell you is every opportunity you get to hear somebody teach a lesson, a life lesson of any kind from the Word of God, grab it. I know we used to listen to tapes. It's CDs now, and those are almost, it's mostly digital stuff these days, right? It's almost, everything else is almost obsolete. Wow. I remember cassette, not only cassette tapes, but 8-track tapes. Now, I'm gonna put you on the spot. How many remember 8-track tapes? All right, just about everybody. Can't remember. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about 8-track tapes. When I was a teenager, I had a friend, and he had this 8-track tape player. It was cool. He had it mounted under his dash. And we listened to people like the Eagles and Three Dog Night, and you know, I can't even remember all of them, but those were, yeah, I liked it. I still like that music, yeah. But anyhow, I don't even know what I was talking about now. I lost my point. I was trying to make a point about how important it is for us to listen to the Word of God. Amen. You know, if you have the opportunity, I used to listen to preaching, teaching on the radio all the time. The station I listened to was one out of Columbus. There's one station that I've picked up some preaching on that locally, but there's not many preaching, teaching stations anymore. Most of it's music, which is fine. I like the contemporary music, but you know, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is what will set you free. The Word of God is what will set you on the right track. So learn, and learn from people. Learn from God's people. Don't learn from the world. The world will send you in the wrong direction. Learn things from God's people. So my point, one of the things that I wanted to say, because I have learned some things about making sure that I recognize our anniversaries and Tammy's birthday and Valentine's Day. On her birthday, rather than go out and buy her a card, I made her a card. It was real simple, just "I love you" and, you know, some stuff on. I'm not going to get mushy with you, but you know, she really appreciated that. You know, she appreciated that more than if I'd gone to the store and bought a card for her. So what I'm telling you is, it's not hopeless, men. You can learn. You can begin to do this thing right. Remember the birthdays. Remember the anniversaries. Any special holidays, remember those things. It's really important. And women, don't forget to speak into your husband's life. He needs it too. Find out what his love language is. And I can tell you, one dominant love language of just about every man sitting in here is physical touch. We need that. It's important. Don't forget it. I'm sorry, what? And musical equipment, okay. That's, yeah, okay. I got to write that one in. I guess that follows under gifts, right? One wonderful big gifts. All right, choosing to practice love should be part of our church life. Amen. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says this. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Verse 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. He was basically, the apostle was talking about, prior to this, he was talking about clean and unclean foods and behaviors that people would consider to be unrighteous. And he you know, he's saying, listen, there's not this list of do's and don'ts in the body of Christ. There's only serving the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to the Holy Spirit as He leads and directs us. And these things that some people consider to be wrong may not be wrong for the other person. Now, listen, I don't want to go into any details here, but there are certain things in the Bible that we know are right and wrong. We know that murder is wrong, right? Okay, it's not wrong. It's not wrong for one person and right for another. Murder is wrong. Okay, adultery is wrong.
That's right.
Fornication is wrong. There are certain wrong things, lying, cheating, stealing. There's all kinds of wrongs, and we need to get that understood.
That's right.
But there are some things that are not clear, and there's not any kind of mandate from the Bible that says you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. You see, in the Jewish law, there was certain mandates about food. They weren't allowed to eat certain things. But the apostle said, it's all clean. If we bless it, it's clean. But here's the important thing here. We got to understand that we may have freedom in Christ, but that freedom should not be exercised in such a way that it's harmful to our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes,
let's listen to what he has to say here. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. So if you feel like you have the freedom to do something, eat something, act a certain way that's not a biblical mandate of right and wrong, and yet your brother or your sister is offended by it, if you're going to walk in love, you're not going to do it for their sake.
That's
hard because we have certain lifestyles sometimes. It may be offensive to somebody. Now, what you do when no one is, you know, when you're in your own home, you're not being offensive. But, you know, he's talking about public life here. He's saying what you're doing. If it's offensive to somebody, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop doing it. It's that important that we walk in love. Walk in love in your family. Walk in love in the church. And walk in love toward your neighbors. Praise God, we have a concern for our neighbors. I want to see my neighbors come to Christ. I want to minister to my neighbors, the people around me, the people in our community. I want to see the Word of God touch the people of this community. I want to see revival take place. The best way for that to happen is that the body of Christ love one another and love their neighbors. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, says this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment." Now, this is, Jesus had encountered a religious person, and they're having this conversation, and he asks him, what's the greatest commandment? And he tells him, that's the greatest commandment. And then he goes on to say, in the second's like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there is no commandment greater than these two things. And after he says this, this guy is wanting to justify himself, so he says to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who do I call my neighbor? Now, from a Jewish standpoint, they believed their neighbor was only Jews. Only those from the household of religious faith from a Jewish standpoint. So anybody else was not their neighbor, and they did not have the mandate to love them and to reach out to them. So this guy was trying to justify, but Jesus starts right there, and Jesus wants to make it very clear to him who his neighbor is. So he tells the story of the Good Samaritan and how the Good Samaritan how a Jewish person left Jerusalem to go to Jericho, and on his way, he was confronted by thieves. And those thieves not only stole everything from him, but they beat him up and left him for dead. And along came a priest on his way to Jericho, and the priest saw the man, and he didn't want to get involved. So he went on. And along came a Levite who was a helper in the temple, and he saw the man, and he didn't want to get involved, so he went on. And here comes a Samaritan. Now, we have to understand that the Jewish and Samaritan relationship was very strained. The Samaritans were hybrid Jews. They had married outside of, they were Jewish people who married outside of the Jewish culture, Jewish people. It goes all the way back to Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, the building of the temple, where the Samaritans were not allowed to be a part of the building of the temple and worship in the temple. So they hated the Jews, and the Jews hated them. They had this relationship that was ongoing. They didn't even communicate with one another. That's why the disciples were so amazed when Jesus made it a point to go to Samaria and talk to the woman at the well. They couldn't understand. How can you accept these people? They were rejected. And this Samaritan comes along and he sees this Jew beat up, and he would recognize him as a Jew. And he saw him beat up, saw all of his everything. You know, if that would happen, there would be stuff strewn all over the place. And he saw this, and he went over and he bandaged him and put ointment on him. And then he put him on his animal, and he took him into Jericho. And when he got to Jericho, he took care of him. He paid for a room for him. And when he left, he told the innkeeper, "When I come back, if there's any more expense, I'll pay for it." And Jesus said, he wanted to make this point that everyone is your neighbor. Even the Samaritans are your neighbor, no matter what. So our response to who is our neighbor is everybody. Wherever we look, whether we like it or not. Now, we don't have too many Mexicans in our area. There used to be a few that would work migrantly on the farms. I don't even know if they're around anymore. We don't have many Mexicans, but even the Mexicans, even the Muslims, and we may disagree with them, and we may not be able to see eye to eye religiously, but they're still our neighbor. Anywhere they are. Now, look, do I believe that we're supposed to make ourselves vulnerable to radical people who would take our life? No. I think we should protect ourselves. Be careful. They're out there. But listen, there's radical Christians that are taking people's lives as well. Let's come to grips with that. Love our neighbor. Love them. Reach out to them. But I can tell you this. If someone tells you that they believe wholeheartedly that the Quran is their word and they follow it completely, be careful of that person, because the Quran tells them to kill infidels. And anyone who is not a believer in the Quran is an infidel. Here's the difference between Christianity and the Muhammad belief, Muslim belief. Their book says kill. Our book says love. 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 That's the only thing. That's the most important thing that we've got going for us, is the love of God above everything else. If we're going to see changes in people's lives, it's going to be the love of God that touches them. It's going to be compassion. It's going to be meeting people's needs. It's going to be trusting our God, even when the situation looks like maybe we shouldn't trust that person. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Love our neighbors, regardless. I'm going to stop right there, but I got to share an important story with you this morning. Several years ago, in Pennsylvania, maybe some of you remember this, on October the 2nd, 2006, a man entered an Amish schoolhouse, and he killed 5 girls and wounded 5 others. A horrible tragedy. And we've had all kinds of shootings and, you know, school tragedies and a lot of things going on in our society. And lots of pain. And you got to, I'm sure that we can all understand if that happened to our children, how difficult that would be. Lost our children because of some deranged individual. Well, now I have, through my son-in-law Brady, I've heard some stories about the Amish. And he, because he works directly with these Amish people, and they're just like every other group of believers, every church, every community of believers. There are some that are dedicated, and there's some that could care less about their religion. They're in a culture, and that's all it is. It's just a lifestyle that they live. So, you know, we have to balance that with the reality that people are people, regardless of whether it's at Bethel, whether it's in California, whether it's, you know, in Washington, D.C., doesn't matter. In Pennsylvania, people are people. Some people who call themselves Christians are dedicated people who love the Lord. Some people call themselves Christians, and they really don't know what the term means. That's a reality. So anyhow, in this situation, it appears that these people, this group of Amish people, truly understood biblical forgiveness. They actually did everything they could. They went out of their way to let the family know that they had forgiven not only the shooter who had taken his own life after he did this, but the family as well. They wasn't holding the family responsible. Ann Curry on NBC News said this, "I realized I did not know what forgiveness was until I saw this act of forgiveness." She was talking about the Amish forgiving. Marie Roberts, who is the shooter's wife, she's the widow of the shooter, she said this, "Our family wants each of you to know that we are overwhelmed by the forgiveness, grace, and mercy that you've extended to us. Your love for our family has helped to provide the healing we so desperately need. Your compassion has reached beyond our family, beyond our community, and is changing our world." That's what we have to do. In the face of tragedy, in the face of difficulties, we've still got to walk with forgiveness and love. Always. Completely. We don't know what the future holds for any of us. We ask for God's protection. We live in a relatively safe community. But the reality is, most of the places that shootings took place, they all thought they were really safe. Things can happen. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want you to prepare your heart to be willing to walk in love no matter what happens. We have a mighty God, a powerful God. He is on our side. He has promised us that He is going to keep us and walk with us. He's going to order our steps. That no power on earth can shake us and move us away from our relationship with Him. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen. So I want to leave you with that, knowing that we have a powerful God, a wonderful God. But we're going to encounter situations in our life, in our family, in our church, in our community that might shake us, but it cannot destroy us. We have our house built on the rock, Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Just bow your head with me as we pray. Father, we once again praise you. Thank you. Lord, help us to walk humbly before you, to forgive, to love, to have compassion, to reach others with the love of Jesus Christ. Help us always to be about your business, Lord. I know many times this world, it's tough. There's difficulties and trials, ups and downs. There's mountains and there's valleys, Lord, that we go through. But we thank you, Lord, that you are with us no matter where we go and whatever we do. And we're trusting that you will stir our hearts, Lord, to serve you, to be examples of you in our family, in our church, in our community. The people will look at us and they'll say, truly, that person knows the Lord. That's our desire, Lord. So we leave this place today. Stir us to walk closer to you and to be in your will, to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you have been blessed by this message. Our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.